The Nithling soldier thrust its crackling, electrically charged spear towards Arthur's chest. At the very last moment, just as he was about to be impaled, he managed to block the thrust with his shield, the spear point scratching up and across with a horrifying shriek of metal on metal. Arthur stabbed back with his savage sword, but the Nithling dodged aside and then leaped upon him, knocking him down as its taloned fingers ripped at his face. Arthur sat up in bed, screaming, his hands scrabbling for a weapon. His fingers closed on a sword hilt, and he picked it up and hacked at his attacker, who melted into thin air as he became fully awake. The sword in his hand transformed itself, changing from a slim rapier to a marshal's gold-wreathed ivory baton, the shape the fourth key appeared to prefer when Arthur was carrying it. Arthur put the baton down and took a deep breath. His heart was still hammering, as if a crazed blacksmith were at work in his chest, the fear from his nightmare only slowly fading. Not that the waking world was all that much better. Arthur looked hopefully at the silver crocodile ring on his finger, the one that indicated just how much sorcery had seeped into his blood and bone. But it was no different than it had been the night before. 5 of the 10 marked segments of the ring had turned gold, indicating he was now at least half denizen. Every time Arthur used a key or some other sorcery, he would be affected, and the ring would measure the contamination. If the gold spread across just one more segment, the process would be irreversible and he would never be able to return home. Not without negatively affecting everyone and everything he loved. Denizens had a bad effect on life in the secondary realms. "Home," said Arthur. He was really awake now, and every one of his many problems clamoured in his head, demanding he think about them. But foremost of them all was his desire to find out what was going on back home and to check that everyone was all right. He slid out from under the heavy satin sheets and off the feather-stuffed mattress on its four-poster base of mahogany. Each of the posts was carved with battle scenes, which distracted him for a moment, so he found out the hard way that it was farther to the ground than he expected. He was just getting up off the floor when a discreet knock came at the door. "Come in," Arthur called out as he looked around. He'd been so exhausted battling to defend the citadel against the new Nithling army that he'd hardly noticed where they'd carried him off to sleep. Clearly it was the bedroom of some very superior officer, probably Sir Thursday himself, for as well as the ornate bed, there were several gilded, overstuffed armchairs, a richly woven carpet that depicted yet another battle scene, this one a vast spray of orange-red firewash over a horde of misshapen old-style Nithlings, a washstand with a solid gold washbasin and several thick, fluffy towels, and an open door leading to a walk-in wardrobe absolutely stuffed full of different uniforms, boots and accoutrements.
"Good morning, Lord Arthur. Are you ready to be shaved?"
The denizen who came in was a corporal wearing the scarlet tunic and black trousers of the regiment, but he also had a white apron over his tunic and what appeared to be a brass bowl on his head. He carried a leather case, which he deftly laid on the side table and opened to reveal several brushes and a number of very sharp-looking cutthroat razors. "Ah, yes, but with the back of the blade, please," said Arthur without really thinking. He'd gotten used to shaving during his recruit training, even though at age 12 he had no whiskers to come off and wouldn't need to shave for a couple of years. The corporal gestured to Arthur to sit, took the bowl off his head, filled it with water from the washstand's elephant trunk spout, and began to whisk up a lather. Arthur sat down, then stood straight back up. "I haven't got time for this," he said hurriedly. "I have to find out what's going on."
"And so you shall, sir," said a new voice from the door.
It was Marshal Dusk, looking much cleaner and tidier in his dark grey uniform than when Arthur had last seen him in the aftermath of battle.
It was Thursday's custom to hear the morning news as he was shaved and dressed. Would you care to follow this practice?
Arthur looked down at himself. He hadn't realized he was wearing pajamas. Regimental pajamas of scarlet and gold, complete with fringed gold epaulettes that irritated his neck. He was sure they would have woken him if he hadn't been too tired to notice. I guess I do have to get dressed. He sat back down, and the barber instantly applied lather to his cheeks and chin. Dusk marched into the room and stood at attention opposite, while another corporal, in a more usual cap, came in and marched past into the wardrobe.
"What are the new Nithlings doing? Has the Piper been seen?" asked Arthur.
He tried not to move his mouth too much when he talked. The barber was using the back of the razor to just scrape the lather off, but it still made Arthur nervous. The new Nithlings, who served the Piper, the enigmatic second son of the architect and the old one, had almost won the battle against Arthur and the army of the house the night before, coming frighteningly close to capturing the citadel. Only the arrival of Dame Primus, wielding the first three keys, accompanied by a large force drawn from the lower house, the far reaches, and the border sea, had saved the day. Arthur had to admit the treachery of the fourth part of the will had also played an important part. In its snake form, it had spat acid in the Piper's mask while he was supposed to be negotiating with Arthur. The absence of the Piper, and whatever powers he possessed, which were likely to be considerable, had quite possibly made the difference between victory and defeat.